This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
We're all set, cocked, locked, hour number two of USA to Paris. Kyle's with me, and we're talking about tips. Tips that you can use right now and tips that you can file away for use later. Kyle, you and I were talking about the positioning of trailer jacks, where they are welded or bolted on, and the newer trailers seem to have the trailer jack in exactly the wrong position, so that when you open up your tailgate on your pickup truck, it will slam right into that trailer jack in the front of the trailer and damage your finish on the outside of your tailgate. Please continue.
Yeah, mine actually is set up so that it just barely clears. I don't know about yours, but mine literally, if it's straight, it just barely clears. There's a couple other things on trailers, folks, that you probably want to bear in the back of your mind. Like, Vince has that dovetail drop in the back of his. Now, that's really handy if you're going to just pretty much haul cars. Like he said, the drawback to it is it will catch. You know, it sits lower, and so on your truck that you have, if you have a dovetail type, sometimes you will want to buy the ball hitch, the tube that goes into your receiver that has a drop on it. It'll actually drop down. They can drop down, you know, anywhere from 2 inches to 8 inches, if you, some of these great big tall, even more maybe for some of these great big tall trucks. But you really want to make sure that the height of the drop down of the ball is at the correct level so that your trailer rides, level, when you're pulling it. Another drawback to the dovetail is, like for my trailer, which is straight all the way, I built 2 foot sideboards to go all the way around the trailer, and I built another sideboard to fit up against the back that I kind of put screws in to hold, and I will go get my firewood with it. It's more difficult to do that with a dovetail type trailer. They usually don't have sideboards on them that go all the way around, because my sideboards are 2 feet high. And so when I go get wood, I'll take my truck, which has sideboards on it, and then the trailer with sideboards on it, and I can bring back home, you know, usually about 2.5 cord of wood total in one trip if I need to. So there's just another thought on trailers. And the other thing that you might want to consider is if you are carrying heavy loads, they do make a it's called an equalizer hitch, and it mounts to your hitch, and it'll mount to your truck, and it mounts to the trailer. And what it does is it kind of balances the weight and puts more weight on the front of your truck rather than just putting all the weight on the tongue. And that's a little bit complicated. I understand I'm throwing that out there for people just to look up and figure out for themselves that you can mount this on there if you need to. I've only really, other than using my trailer, the equalizer hitch for travel trailers, I've only had to use it one time, and I was pulling a friend of mine's big 3/4 ton heavy duty Ford with a plow on the front of it, but it had so much weight and it was a diesel. So it was extremely heavy. And I put an equalizer hitch on it because it was so incredibly heavy that I wanted to equalize the weight on the pickup. Vince?
Yeah, and what Kyle's saying about the ball mount drop, okay, what that means is how much lower will the ball be from the receiver tube on the trailer hitch on the vehicle? How much lower? So usually they're around no drop, 2-inch, 4-inch, 6-inch, and maybe 8-inch drop. And what we do before we hook up a trailer, we make sure that the truck tires are at the proper inflation. And the more inflation that you have in your tires, the greater the load capacity of the tire. But you don't want to exceed what the tire is rated for. Okay, so it'll say on the sidewall of the tire how many pounds per square inch that the truck tire is rated for, and the trailer tires, same thing. Now, the higher the inflation, the less flexing that the tires will do as the tire rotates where it contacts the ground. If it's a real hot day, the tire will pick up heat from a black road, blacktop, because it can be over 100 degrees. So the tire will get warm as it contacts the road. Also, the tire gets warm as the tire itself flexes, where it deforms when it contacts the road. So it is round until it hits the road, then it becomes flat where it contacts the road, then it returns back to round. So it keeps flexing with each revolution. That revolution causes internal friction in the tire, and that heats up the tire. So you'll have less friction internal to the tire with more air, but do not exceed the tire manufacturer's maximum pressure per square inch. And you want to check those tires when they are cold. That means that the vehicle has not been driven, the trailer has not been driven, the tires are not in the sun. And that's when you check the cold tire pressure. So it's been sitting a couple hours, at least. It's not in the sun, and the tires have a chance to become acclimated to the ambient temperature outside rather than being heated by the sun. So that's important, too. So what we do is we make sure that the truck tires are at the pressure that we want, front and rear of the truck, that the trailer tires are at the pressure, typically maximum inflation pressure rated for the trailer tires. Then when we attach the trailer to the truck, we put it on a level surface and we look at it and make sure that the drop of the trailer hitch and trailer is not such that the nose of the trailer is pointing down or up. Okay, maybe pointing up a little bit. Then when we put the load on the trailer, we want that trailer to be level. And we don't want the truck to be, the rear of the truck to be pointing, pushed down too much, and the front looking like we're going to Florida. So we want the truck to be quite level. We want the trailer to be level when it's loaded. Okay, that's what you want. That's the proper way to do it. So typically the way we do it here at the farm, let's say we're going to put a tractor on our trailer. After we make sure that the vehicle and the trailer are on a level surface, one person will stand off to the side while another person drives the tractor onto the trailer. And as you drive more and more forward on the trailer, you push down harder and harder on the rear of the truck, on the trailer hitch. So you don't want to put too much weight on the truck, but you want to have enough weight, a couple hundred pounds worth of weight from the trailer on the truck so that the trailer doesn't pop off the trailer ball. Okay? We do. So it usually takes two people. And after a while, we know exactly where to put the tractor, which is a pretty heavy load on any trailer. Kyle, any comments?
Nope. That's exactly what I was saying, Vince. Right on the money. You want that thing right and level.
Right.
You will find that. And the only other thing with buying a trailer is I've got a couple of more suggestions. One is that you buy a tandem axle trailer. I don't care pretty much what you're doing, even if it's a little 14-foot trailer. I don't really like single axle trailers. All of my trailers unless I've got a couple of trash trailers that are just like pickup boxes, but any trailer that I'm going to use to haul anything of any consequence, I want to have two axles. I want four tires on the ground. They ride better. And it gives you, if you do have a blowout on one of the tires for some reason, sometimes you can keep going far enough to get off of the road, especially if there's no turnoffs or anything and you've got to do something. The other thing is to really bear in mind with trailers is you want most of your weight forward on the front of the trailer. You do not want the heavy weight on the back of your trailer. If you've ever seen these trailers going down the road and they start fishtailing and jumping all over, that's because the weight distribution on the trailer is not correct. They put way too much weight in the back of the trailer rather than having it forward toward the tongue. Go ahead.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And so that leads us to trailer brakes. So all trailers don't have trailer brakes. Some do. And some trailers have, as Kyle mentioned, two axles. Two axles means you have two wheels on each axle, one on the left side of the trailer, one on the right. If you have two axles, you have two wheels and tires on the left and two on the right. Now, sometimes trailers come with trailer brakes. Now, typically, a two-axle trailer will come with trailer brakes. And you may even find on Craigslist that it's listed that the trailer that you're looking at has trailer brakes. And it can be brand new. But that doesn't mean that both axles have brakes. It may be just one of the two axles has brakes. Now, that's not as good as both axles having brakes. Now, think of it like this. Your car has brakes on all four wheels. All four wheels. The front axles and the rear. That's the ideal setup. But keep in mind when you look at a trailer that you may find that it says, you know, complete with electric trailer brakes. But it may not be on both axles. So, word to the wise, both axles with brakes is the best way to go if you have two axles, but it's more expensive. And there's more maintenance. I like the trailers that have brakes on all wheels. I really do. And you can repair them. You can put, you know, new brake shoes on. You can put new actuators on. And you can maintain it yourself. You actually can. There's no question about it. You just need to, you know, learn how. And all this information is on YouTube. The trailers come with a set of safety chains. That's two safety chains. And what I do is I crisscross them. So if there is a chain on the left side of the trailer coupler, I mount it to the right side of the hitch. So I crisscross them in the middle. And that is typically the preferred way of doing it. If the chain is too long, what you can do is just put a couple twists in the chain and take up some of that extra slack so the chain does not drag on the road. You need to have enough slack so that you can turn the truck and the trailer, but you don't want too much slack so that the chain drags. Kyle, any comments?
No, absolutely correct. I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Okay. And if your hitch has holes in it for your safety chains, and the safety chain hook won't fit, you can get D-links. And
trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. 8833813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text MONEY to 813813.
Experience Vantage Point for free.
Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 813813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
Under today's hot.
Flash.
God, you're.
Take my.
When you go to the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
The links that I've been talking about are called quick links. That's the official name for them. And these are like an elongated O made out of steel. Sometimes they're 3/16 of an inch. Those would be the thin ones. Then 3/8 of an inch. Or 5/16 of an inch. Okay. And what they have is a long nut that you can unscrew on one side, and that creates an opening where you can put that through a link of a chain, etc., and then screw that long nut back on, and it closes the circle so that it makes a link. Well, I have those installed in the bed of my pickup truck in the front because I can't always put a tie strap in there easily. So I have these quick links semi-permanently installed, and I have them on the trailer hitch as well. So if the hook from the trailer chain doesn't fit properly on the trailer hitch, I have these quick links that it will fit in. So that's one use. Kyle, do you use those quick links as well?
No, Vince, I don't. Pretty much all of my trailers, the pickup and hookups that I have, I've seen them, and I've got them actually in my shop, but I've never really had need of them. Pretty much all of my hooks match the trailer hitches, and I tend to hook mine so that just a little thought here on how you would hook these up. So, like Vince said, you've got this chain that is attached to your trailer, and it's got a hook at the other end. At least mine does, and every one I've ever had does. And you can either look at putting those in front ways, or you can turn them around and hook them from the backside, kind of. It's a different way of hooking them. I tend to hook mine backwards on the backside of things so that they tend to, if you're bouncing or anything like that, they have a tendency to hold better. That's just one little thought that I've got on that. But no, I haven't used the quick links. I've got them, but I haven't had to use them. It's just one of those things that, you know, why, if you can spend your money, the stimulus money and all of this other, any of the other spare money you've got, and you can either buy a 80-inch TV or you can buy a flatbed trailer, a tandem axle flatbed trailer, why not have something that, in case the times get hard, you have the ability to be able to help somebody out or have something useful that will actually potentially make you some money? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. And if you have a trailer, you have these ratchet straps, and they come in all different thicknesses and ratings and colors. And one of the things I wanted to mention is that, you know, we keep about eight ratchet strap sets in each truck, and we have a toolbox on the back bed of each truck. And I'd like to talk about that in a second. But when we're talking about ratchet straps, if you keep them nice and flat, you know, and no twists in them, and you're going down the road, they are going to vibrate and oscillate, and they may even break from the rapid oscillation. So you think about it like this. If you have a piece of metal and you bend it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, you can break it in half, okay? Well, the same, it's just like a pop top on a can of, on a beverage can. If you rock it back and forth and back and forth, the metal will fatigue and it'll break off. Well, same thing happens with these nylon ratchets, straps. So if you put a couple twists, just a couple. Now, I'm not talking about knots. I'm just making it less pleasant to look at. It will be less likely to vibrate in 40, 50, 60 mile an hour wind. Kyle, have you done that as well?
Yep, exactly, Vince. It's, like you said, it's kind of funny, you know, how many things you and I have done that are that come to the same conclusion. It does, for my sake, it does depend for me. Sometimes I don't keep that many straps in each truck. I will have two small ones and two large ones in my pickup truck. Looks like we're going into a break. I'll finish this on the other side.
Yeah, we're going into a break. And, class, we'll talk about ratchet straps and knots if it breaks or wears. We'll talk about what that does to the strength of the ratchet strap when we come back as well. Kyle's with us, and I really appreciate your wealth of knowledge, Kyle. We'll be right back.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As local state officials try to get non-vaxxers to vaccinate, the Republican governor in Ohio is taking federal COVID-19 relief money and will pay someone $1 million through a lottery system. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has announced a unique incentive to get residents of his state vaccinated.
On May 26th, we will announce a winner of a separate drawing for adults. adults who have received at least their first dose of the vaccine. This announcement will occur each Wednesday for 5 weeks, and the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
Kids that get vaccinated have a chance to win a four-year college scholarship fund. Wednesday, the CDC approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine in adolescents aged 12 to 15. We are USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
In a recent conversation, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken spoke to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, expressing his concerns over the violence in the region. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
During the call, Secretary Blinken expressed his concerns regarding the barrage of rocket attacks on Israel. While expressing his condolences for the lives lost, he expressed the continued support of America, urging Mr. Netanyahu to do everything possible to bring a halt to the escalating violence. Blinken said Jerusalem does have a burden.
Israel has an extra burden in trying to do everything it possibly can to avoid civilian casualties, even as it is rightfully responding in defense of its people.
The secretary emphasized the need for Israelis and Palestinians to be able to live safely in security.
At least 67 Palestinians and 7 Israelis have been killed in fighting between Israel's military and Hamas since Monday. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has unveiled its 2021 inductees Wednesday, celebrating the most diverse list of inductees in the history of the organization. In the performer category, going in, Tina Turner, Carole King, The Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, and Todd Rundgren. In the Musical Excellence Award, that's going to be going to LL Cool J, Billy Preston, and Randy Rhoads. To be eligible for induction into the Hall, the band's first commercial recording must drop 25 years prior to the year of nomination. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kyle's with us in the front of the classroom, and we're talking about trailers, tires, bearings, and ratchet straps. Kyle, do you have a comment or comments about ratchet straps?
Yeah. So with ratchet straps and your trailer, what I have found is if your trailer is real long and you're using ratchet straps, say 3 or 4 of them along the trailer, that twist that you put in the ratchet strap, keeping it from vibrating so badly, is pretty critical. But what I have found is sometimes if I'm putting something, say, in the bed of my pickup, and it's not going up, It is not extending above the bed of the pickup, but I'm just kind of using the stake pockets in the side of the truck and going over whatever it is. And if it's below the height of the cab of the truck, most of the time I won't worry about putting that twist in there because it's kind of protected from the wind and it won't do very much vibration. Folks, these are just little tricks of the trade, learning how to do this. The other thing that I would highly suggest is that you carry rope. If you're going to travel with a trailer or you're going anywhere, make sure you've got, I carry in my pickup, literally other than the ratchet straps, I probably have one rope that's probably 50 feet long and it's about an inch in diameter. And I carry another rope that's about half inch in diameter that's a heavily braided, well-designed rope that's a real heavy abrasion-resistant rope. And I got about 50 feet of it. And I carry about two other ropes that are in this that are sort of the 3/8 nylon-type rope that I use. And one of the knots, you can look this up on YouTube, that you should really learn, especially attaching trailers and stuff. It's called the trucker's knot. And I won't go into how to do it, but you can look that up on YouTube. And the trucker's knot is just incredibly handy to have if you're tying something down with rope. Okay, Vince.
Okay. And the ratchet straps don't seem to lose their strength if you put a twist or two or three or five in them. But if you put a knot, let's say the ratchet strap breaks, the strap itself breaks, and you tie it back together with whatever kind of knot you use, the strength of that strap seems to be about 50% or less strong than it was before the knot was put in. I can't explain exactly why that is, other than the fact that those microfilaments are now different lengths because of the knot. That's the only thing that I can think of that would explain why a knotted ratchet strap is nowhere near as strong as one that doesn't have knots in it. Okay? So that's a significant consideration. Now, where does the if you put a good knot in it, where does it break? Well, it doesn't seem to break at the knot. It seems to break at where the ratchet is. And I believe all of this ties back to the filaments. Those microfilaments are at different lengths than they were when they were first manufactured. You can buy a tow strap. And we try to keep one of these in every one of our toolboxes in each truck. And a tow strap is like a ratchet strap. It's heavier. It's about 2 inches rather than an inch and a quarter or so. It's much heavier, and they have hooks on the end. And the hooks have a keeper that will keep the hook in place until you break that little keeper. But these are forged hooks. And what we do is we use them a lot around the farm. So if I want to move a vehicle that doesn't run, I will hook up to the correct location on the vehicle I'm going to pull. I'll attach it to my truck or a tractor, and I'll pull that vehicle or piece of equipment wherever I want. You can buy them at Harbor Freight, and they're a little over $10. I mean, maybe $12. And they have different strengths. They're different ratings for when they'll break. Now, you have to be really careful because if you end up breaking one of these things, it's going to be like a whip. Okay, so if this thing breaks, all the force that you're pulling against this strap, where it breaks, it's going to fly back in each direction. It'll fly back toward the towing vehicle and fly back toward the towed vehicle, depending on where it breaks. And it can kill you. So you need to make absolutely sure that the strap that you're using is of sufficient strength not to break. Now, a lot of people use chains, and we use chains as well. Now, the problem with a chain is they don't stretch. They don't take up the slack, and there's much more banging between the equipment you're towing and the towing equipment with a chain than with a strap. So we use both, and we are really careful to stay out of the way of one of these straps breaking, should it break. Kyle, any comments about that?
Yep, absolutely. And some people will use cable. They will have cable that they have wound up, you know, that the hook around things with an eye in them on either end. That's the same kind of a thing. If you've got cable stretched out and it breaks, it's just like Vince said, it's going to come back at both directions, hot and heavy. I know of a guy that literally pulled his trailer, and he tried to come. He was pulling it with a cable, pulling another car with his car, and the cable got hooked around something, but it was too tight, and he was in sand, and he could not back up. If he tried to back up, he was sinking in the sand, and so he figured his trailer, the cable between the car he was pulling and the truck that he was pulling it with had got caught on something and was at an angle. And so he literally tried to, he was a very strong guy and pushed that cable off of the root where he had got hooked. And that cable snapped back so hard that it knocked his feet out from under him. And he's a big guy, strong, knocked the feet out from under him, and his face landed on the cable, and didn't break his nose, but it gave him two black eyes because his face went right down on that cable. Happened to hit just right and looked like a raccoon, literally two bad black eyes where it had hit his face. So this is really serious stuff, especially the straps. Chain doesn't usually snap back like that bad, but the straps will, and so will cable. So just stuff to know and be aware of, you know, if you're pulling things out or, you know, logging or doing stuff like that, just stay away from those things. Get away from them so that you don't get hit if something were to break. Always think in the what if, like I was saying before, what if this breaks? What if, you know, this cable snaps off of one end? What's going to happen? That kind of thing.
Well, let's put an exclamation point on this, Kyle. So you've all seen television shows that have, a jet landing on an aircraft carrier, right? And so there's a tail hook on the jet, and it drags down just at the time of landing, and there's an aircraft cable stretched across the landing surface of the aircraft carrier. So the tail hook catches this aircraft cable. It's the same kind of design cable that is used for these winches that are on four-wheelers, etc. It's called aircraft cable, and it's all kinds of thicknesses, from really thin to really substantial. Well, the stress on that cable from the aircraft landing, the jet landing on the aircraft carrier, is so significant that they only use that cable one time, and then they throw it overboard into the sea. So the bottom of the sea is lined with these aircraft cables that have been used once each time a jet lands on an aircraft carrier. So you really need to be careful if you see these aircraft cables and they've got like one or two or five of the steel wires broken and they break. You got to be really careful with using that for a significant load, all right? So that was one other topic. And, Kyle, do you want to move on to truck toolboxes? You want to talk about those?
Sure, you bet.
Okay. All right, so I bought my new soon-to-be antique pickup truck, and it did not come with a toolbox. And I really like having what I need with me when I need it, so I like having one of those aluminum boxes on the back of the pickup truck right against the front part of the box where the rear window is. And there are all kinds of designs. You can get them in aluminum. You can get them in natural finish, clear coat aluminum. You can get them in black painted aluminum. You can get them in steel. You can get them in plastic. And you can get them with one big lid, or you can get them with a hinged lid that has two halves. And the hinge is in the middle, and you can open up half of the lid from one side of the truck, and you walk around to the other side of the pickup truck, and you can open up the other half. And then there are deep ones, and there are shallow ones. So the deep ones can hold more, but you got to go deeper. You know, when you go to pick something out of it, it's deeper down, harder to get to. And if you want to put something long in the bed of your pickup truck, well, your darn toolbox is in the way. So there are all kinds of compromises that have to be considered when you buy one of these toolboxes. And so I wanted one, and it had to be perfect or I wouldn't be satisfied. Now, the best brand that we have ever found is made by a company called WeatherGuard. They are top of the line, and they are darn expensive. So we have one of those that we bought used. But a used one is like $250 or $300 if you can get a good deal on one. That's WeatherGuard. If you want one that is a lot more reasonably priced, that's used, which is what I got. I have two trucks, and I wanted the same one. I didn't want to have a different toolbox on each truck. I want to have the same exact one. So, you know, you look up on Craigslist, you look up, and you also look up on websites for the new ones, and you look at the specifications, and you look at Craftsman. Boy, do they look good. And then you read the reviews that the welds break, they leak when it rains, they are not square, and you put something heavy in it and it falls through the bottom. So that's Craftsman. Now, that's the new Craftsman. That's the new and improved Craftsman. The old Craftsman, if they made them, wouldn't be like that. But you'd have to find one that would be 40 years old. But I don't even know if they made these kind of toolboxes in aluminum 40 years ago. So I ended up buying what I thought was the absolute best compromise. And I have two of them. And they're made by a company, I believe, called Delta. But it doesn't have a Delta label on it. It says DeWalt. And they are fabulous. They don't leak in the rain. But when we bought them, they didn't come with keys. We'll talk about that. And I'm sure Kyle has a ton of comments when we come back for the last segment. We're talking.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So at the farm, we have two brands of toolboxes. One is WeatherGuard. I believe our son bought one for $250, which I think is an enormous amount of money for a used toolbox. But a brand new one right now at Home Depot is $770 for that toolbox plus tax. So it's over $800 with tax. And he got it in, like, great condition. So I think it's an enormous amount of money. I didn't spend anywhere near that. I bought DeWalt, which would be a step down from WeatherGuard. DeWalt doesn't make them anymore, Delta doesn't make them for DeWalt anymore. And I paid $50 for one and $80 for the other, but they came without keys. So what do you do for keys? Well, you go to eBay, and you can find the lock number, usually on the inside lid of the toolbox. It'll be some three-digit number typically. And you can go to eBay and you can type in a truck toolbox key and even type in the number. And some of the numbers are imprinted on the ring where the key goes into the lock cylinder. You can see it from the outside of the toolbox. So if you don't have a key, you can buy it on eBay for less than $10 shipped. Now, that's a lot of money for a key, but you can't make it yourself. So a locksmith is typically the guy selling them on eBay. Kyle, any comments about all of that?
Sure, you bet. So, again, I'm going to kind of blow your mind. I was at a garage sale a few years ago, and a lady had a WeatherGuard truck toolbox there, but somebody, her husband or son or somebody, had painted it dark blue. And you could barely make out the WeatherGuard little emblem on the side. But anyway, they just wanted to, it had some scratches in it, but it had keys, and they wanted $20 for it. And so I snagged it, and I've still got that. But I have come to a conclusion on truck toolboxes. I like the type that sit completely inside the bed, and I will take four inch by four inch pressure treated posts. And I'll set them down, and if I'm going to anchor it down, I'm going to anchor it if I'm going to drill holes and mount them to the bottom of the bed, I'm going to drill holes down through the 4x4 and go down into the bed and use longer bolts and bolt them down that way to make them secure. But the reason I like the type that sit completely inside the bed of the pickup is because I have toppers for a lot of my trucks. And if I'm going to be traveling or going any long distance where I'm going to want things to be secure, so to speak, I will put I'll put a topper on there and clamp it down. But if you've got the truck toolbox that sticks up over the edge of the bed of the truck, you can't put a topper over the top of your bed of your truck. Vince?
You know, every time we do this, Kyle, it takes me like 2 weeks to recover from these good hearing about these good deals that you get. $20. $20.
I couldn't believe it either. You know, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. But and actually, Vince, I'm going to tell you something that's funny. Inside this toolbox, there was a gallon of antifreeze and a gallon of hydraulic oil that was sitting inside this toolbox when I got it. And
that's
they
worth
were
more than 20.
The antifreeze was brand new. The hydraulic oil had about 3/4 of a gallon in it. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Well, those are great deals. I don't know how you do it, but there's nothing like that around here. Nothing in terms of, you know, those kinds of good deals. But for me, getting a DeWalt, I was really happy with the DeWalt. I love it. And there's two ways of mounting it, Class. You can mount, well, you can mount the way Kyle does. There's, if you do it, if it's one that sits on the edges of the, well, the side edges of the truck bed, as mine do, there are two ways that you can mount them. And you'll have to drill a hole in each side of the, inside of the toolbox. And there's a bolt that goes through that hole. And then you can get what's called a J hook, which is shaped like the letter J, or you can get one that's shaped like the letter U. And I really like the ones that are shaped like the letter U, and they cost about 10% more for the U-shaped clamps for the bed boxes than the J-hook style. And they're great. And you get them on eBay, too. And I think maybe they were $13 or $14 shipped. So, of course, it's all made in China, and but they work really well. The actually, both of them work fine, but I really like the U-shaped ones better. And what I do is I take the inner tube. We don't throw anything out, as you know, and Kyle doesn't either. So we take used inner tubes from tires that have, you know, gone flat and you can't fix the tubes anymore, and they cut a section out, and I put that under the edge of the toolbox that's going to sit on the bed box in the truck, so I don't mar up the paint on between the toolbox and the bed of the truck. Kyle, you got 15 seconds. Any final comments?
Nope, we're doing that. You're doing great, Vince. I sure do enjoy all of your innovations and stuff you come up with. It's great.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I recover from these good deals you get, let's do it again.
You bet. Anytime.
Kyle, you are a master at finding great, great buys and useful tools.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.